familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
Breastfeeding support can truly make or break a mother's breastfeeding experience. Yet with so many local and online options, how's a mother to choose which support will actually be beneficial? I'm Sarah Ortega, a mother of four, a certified lactation educator, and the moderator of Nevada Breastfeeds, an online Facebook page that offers support to breastfeeding mothers. This is The Boob Group, episode 18.
Breast milk, it does a baby good.
Silly daddy, boobs are for babies.
I make milk. What's your superpower?
If my breastfeeding offends you, put a blanket over your head.
Dairy diva.
Don't be lactose intolerant.
Nursing nature's own breast enhancement.
Meals on heels.
Whoever said there's no use crying over spilled milk never had to pump.
Breast milk. All udders are inferior.
Whatever your point of view, we're here to support your breastfeeding goals. We're the Boob Group, because mothers know breast. Welcome to The Boob Group, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I'm your host, Robin Kaplan. I'm also a certified lactation consultant and owner of the San Diego Breastfeeding Center. At The Boob Group, we're your online support group for all things related to breastfeeding. Have you checked out the fabulous articles on our blog? We have several moms who have offered to blog about their breastfeeding experiences for The Boob Group, and I was completely blown away by their stories. If you are interested in sharing your breastfeeding stories, feel free to contact me through the link on the Boob Group website, which is www.theboobgroup.com. Today, I'm joined by three lovely panelists in the studio. Ladies, will you please introduce yourselves?
My name is Crystal Mullett. I'm 27 years old. I'm a pharmacy technician. I have two children, 3 and 8 weeks.
My name is Erin Esteves. I work in international business. I have one child of 9 months, and my age is my secret.
And I'm Megan Weber. I'm 26 years old and a billing clerk, and I have two children, a 3-year-old and a 4-month-old.
Well, ladies, welcome to the show.
Sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
Thank you. Before we get started with today's show, here's a question for one of our experts. Hey, Robin, I have a little question for the Boob Group. I need some advice on transitioning into nursing a toddler. We have always nursed on demand, and I feel so grateful to have overcome our early challenges to have a healthy and rewarding nursing life. But things have been just a tad bit frustrating lately. Nursing on demand is sometimes turning into demanding to nurse. Or comforting a baby who truly needs a bit of assurance with a quick little nurse sometimes turns into comforting a whining and demanding baby who would otherwise not blink an eye at whatever upset him were it not for my or my boob's presence. At 15 months, we are not ready to wean at all. I'm not even sure I want to restrict to a schedule. But I do want to discourage the current pattern where, if slightly frustrated, he becomes extremely agitated unless he can nurse. Again, only when I am there. This is what clues me in that he doesn't really need the comfort, if that makes any sense. I would love to hear some thoughts. Thanks so much for your time, Jamie.
Hi, Jamie. This is Rose Davinia Jackowitz. I'm the lactation consultant at Happy Healthy Moms and Babies, and I also work at Kaiser Permanente. And I just wanted to see if I can help give you a little bit of an answer to your question on nursing your toddler. And first of all, congratulations for continuing to nurse, because it's definitely the best thing for him. However, as you've probably figured out, toddlerhood is a definite tough time of transitioning, and it can be very erratic for babies at this age. You are their safe haven, and when they get frustrated, they know the safest place in the world is mommy, and which in turn makes it kind of frustrating for you, because yes, if he gets frustrated, if he throws a temper tantrum, it's a quick way to calm him down, but it's also used as a way for them to a quick way of checking in and reconnecting with mom throughout the day. Several options that you can do just to kind of help him when you know it's just kind of a frustrating moment, or you're right in the moment a minute of doing something, is to, you know, to call him by name and say, just a minute. My daughter would tell her little ones, I need you just to hold your patience. And so that would, she would do that for about 1 or 2 minutes. And then she would gradually be able to get a few more minutes, so that he knew that he was going to get it, but he had to wait just a few minutes. But it's typical for toddlers to be very hit and miss. You know, they want a nurse and they don't, and then they want to come for just a quick short nursing. And so really what you're going through is a very, very common, and it just takes a little bit of working with him to maybe teach him a little bit of patience to maybe wait 1 minute to 5 minutes. And as he gets older, he'll realize you're always there, but he can count on you. And that's why he comes running to you, knowing you're his safe haven. So hopefully this is helpful. Take care. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Bye.
So today on The Boob Group, we're discussing the importance of local and online breastfeeding support. Our expert, Sarah Ortega, is an experienced breastfeeding mama of four, a certified lactation educator, and the moderator of a wildly popular Facebook page called Nevada Breastfeeds. Thanks so much for joining us, Sarah, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, Sarah,
thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Sarah, can you tell us a little bit about Nevada Breastfeeds and what inspired you to create this Facebook page?
Well, Nevada Breastfeeds is really a place for moms to get support from either myself, getting direct help with their different problems or concerns, even just questions. They don't necessarily have to be problems. Or they can get help from other women on the page. I do have a couple of men, but the large majority of people on there are women. And so they can just come to the page and get mainly support with breastfeeding, but there's a lot of other things discussed on there as well.
And what inspired you to create this page?
I had been kind of thrown into the world of breastfeeding by accident, which was a really great blessing kind of in disguise. And it just showed me how much moms need the support. And we have a couple of different breastfeeding groups here in Reno that are available to women, different days, different times. But to see how low the numbers are in these groups and knowing how many women are actually having babies and wanting to breastfeed and trying to breastfeed, and whether that is successful or not, they're not reaching out for help on a personal level, you know, going out of their house. And so with Facebook, it just seemed like such a great way to reach people and offer that support where they would never even have to leave their home if they don't want to.
That's fantastic. Ladies in the studio, would you say that you use Facebook pretty regularly?
Yes.
That was quite easy. And do you use Facebook to find breastfeeding support?
I didn't originally, but now I've been actively looking for the support on Facebook, because it's nice to, I'm literally on Facebook every probably 20 minutes if I'd be scared to know how often I'm on there. But so it's nice to have, you know, a little pop-up on my timeline about breastfeeding and just reminding me what a great job I'm doing.
Yeah, absolutely. How about you, Erin?
Not initially, no. It's not something that I specifically sought out on Facebook. But I have, particularly with the San Diego Breastfeeding Group, I do visit the Facebook page often and rely on it for information and articles and so forth.
Yeah, I'm part of that group too, the San Diego Breastfeeding, and I think that's a great resource.
Yeah, and what type of questions are you posting on there, ladies?
Well, one night my son was just refusing to nurse, and it was like midnight, you know, didn't know who to call. And so I went on there and, you know, asked what's going on. I was worried, you know, I think he was 3 months at the time. Is he weaning? Like, you know, and so I had this nice group of moms responding and easing my worries that no, he's not weaning. And everything went okay.
Oh, very cool. How about you, Erin?
Well, I experienced a nursing strike when my son's teeth came in, excuse me. And it was through not Facebook in particular, but through the internet and different sources that I actually realized it was a nursing strike, what it was and what I could expect and how to go through it. So without that support, I'm certain I probably would have stopped nursing.
That's pretty significant.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How about you, Crystal?
I find I'm fairly new to finding the support on Facebook, so I haven't quite made that jump to actually posting myself. So it's more of reading it and just being an observer at this point. But in the future, I'm hoping, well, maybe not hoping I have problems, but hoping that if I do have a problem, that's somewhere I can go, definitely.
Yeah, and it's not like you would be necessarily posting it on your own wall.
Right, exactly.
Like, I'm having breastfeeding challenges.
I want everyone to think of my nipples.
Exactly. Well, my male friends from high school would enjoy that.
Exactly. Sarah, what kind of support are you able to offer breastfeeding moms through Nevada Breastfeeds, and kind of what support goes beyond what you think you can offer on that page?
Well, this is something that I work very hard to provide support, but not go outside of my scope of practice, which is not a very broad scope. I'm still kind of, learning, and I do work with an IBCLC here in Reno. She has a private practice company, and so I'm able to bounce a lot of questions off of her and make sure that I don't overstep those bounds. So I do a lot of different things. I post articles that are relevant to breastfeeding and really, you know, to moms just in general. So I always try and have it tie back to breastfeeding, but sometimes it doesn't. But that is really the gist of the page, is breastfeeding. So there's articles. Women can comment on them. Sometimes it does cause a debate. I try to monitor that very carefully. I don't allow women to bash one another on there, or I don't allow it to get too heated, because it needs to be a safe place for women can come and talk about things that are, you know, a concern without feeling like they are being attacked for whatever reason. So I monitor very carefully that way. And then it's also set up where you can post questions directly on the wall, and that way other women can come along and make comments and help support you and give you information that might help. But there are times that it's really not appropriate for it to be posted on the wall, because they really do need specific help from a professional. So in those situations, I will remove it from the wall, send it to a private message, and kind of work with them that way. And again, if it's something that's outside of my scope, then I start referring to someone that would really be able to help them with their problems. So
that's really great to know, because, you know, that was one of my concerns as a lactation consultant. If I were going to do something like this, is where does it become, I can't answer this online. Like, I need to have a visual, I need to see. And so that's a really good point that you make about removing it from the wall and then just, you know, speaking to that person directly and offering them what their resources are in your community, so that way they can actually get the help that they need. Which kind of questions do you find are most commonly posted on Nevada Breastfeeds?
Gosh, I would say the biggest one is pumping. How to pump, when to pump, going back to work, and, you know, just trying to make that all work together, and having breastfeeding and pumping work, you know, together so that you're able to keep your supply, you're able to keep your baby breastfeeding successfully and not lose any of that when you do return to work or school. There's a lot of different circumstances, of course. And then also, gosh, I think one of the most popular questions is, I don't think that my baby's getting enough. What can I do to increase my supply? And that one always gets me. I really struggle with that because it's 50-50. Half of the time, their supply is fine, and they're just questioning themselves because as mothers, that's what we do.
And, exactly.
You know, and then the other half of the time, they really do need help, and I just don't believe that taking a pill is the answer. I think that, you know, you really need to figure out why it's falling, how long it's been falling, and then what you can do that's really going to work and not, you know, kind of follow these different, you know, just drink 5 gallons of water and you'll be fine, or, you know, just kind of these myths that are out there that increase your supply, and then now you're another week out. And so that seems to be really one of the biggest ones as well.
Yeah. And Sarah, how do you answer all of these questions and work and take care of your family? Because that just baffles me. I have no idea how you do all that.
It's definitely taken some time to establish boundaries. I am not very good at that just in general. So when it came to this page, you know, when it was small, it was really easy. I could answer a question at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and it wasn't a big deal. And then, you know, I was getting a little bit of grief from my family, and I understand that, and I had to remind myself that, you know, these questions don't need to be answered the second that they're asked. So I try very hard to just work it around my family and what their needs are. And then as far as my job, I have been very fortunate to find a job here in Reno with a maternity store.
Oh, nice.
And it's locally owned. She's very supportive of breastfeeding, so she allows me to monitor the page while I'm here at work. So, of course, my job comes first, but it's really been a really nice relationship.
Seriously, so. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, well, when we come back, Sarah and our panelists will be discussing their favorite local and online resources for breastfeeding support. So we'll be right back.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Okay, so we're back. Ladies, have you found that the online breastfeeding support that you're receiving is helpful? You know, one of my concerns would be that a mother would only be receiving anecdotal advice maybe from other moms, which obviously is hugely beneficial. But like Sarah had mentioned, sometimes it reaches beyond that and ends up into kind of needing clinical help, and that she would most likely receive from an international board-certified lactation consultant. And so do you find that that's kind of the case with the forums that you're working in, or and that the advice is helpful, or is it somewhat contradictory?
I think that on like the San Diego breastfeeding group, I know some of the moms on there, and some of them are lactation consultants, are going to school to be lactation consultants. So I kind of have to think about, okay, who are these moms? What is their background? What kind of education do they have? And a lot of them will not only provide their advice, but they'll provide like links to websites so you can read and see, you know, just how accurate this information is.
Yeah, that's a really good point. How about you, Erin?
I always cross-reference everything, and it's my own OCD. Mm-hmm. But I want to make sure that the information I have is as accurate as possible. So while I do go to anecdotal recounts, I also back it up by going to like Stanford or the Mayo Clinic, or the, you know, medical journals, that sort of thing to back it up.
Yeah. How about you, Crystal?
I go on for support. I enjoy the anecdotal things. I enjoy reading about the other, like, if a mom had trouble and then how she got through it. It's nice to know that side of things. You kind of have to take all the advice and information that they give you with a grain of salt, knowing that it's possible she may not be accurate with her information. And then you would, you know, back it up with the websites. And it's nice when people post and they say, I know this because, and then they back it up with a website or, you know, something that you know to be accurate. But I do enjoy the anecdotal things. It helps me get through my day sometimes just to read the struggles and the triumphs of other mothers. So
absolutely. I think that's why blogs, you know, have honestly taken off so much, and why women actually spend way more time on blogs than and reading blog articles than men do, because I think sometimes we are drawn to those anecdotal stories. Mm-hmm. And it's also one of the main reasons we wanted to have blog articles on the Boob Group on our website, because there's nothing like hearing, you know, when a mom goes through something and seeing her sometimes, you know, mostly coming out on the other side, but sometimes not, and just having her process it and being able to kind of just see the human side of that. And so I agree with you. I think that there's definitely a purpose for both of them, but just making sure that you're also, you know, it's wonderful when people include links to articles as well. Sarah, do you find that you do that too, where if you're answering questions, you might guide someone to an article online?
I do. It depends on the question and how specific of an answer they need. So if they're telling me that, you know, they're trying to increase their supply because their baby is 3 weeks old and still, you know, pretty far from birth weight, then I don't bother with articles. I immediately refer them to get help where they can really sit down and figure out what's going on and how they got to this place. And if it's something more along the lines of, you know, I think it's a little bit low and, you know, I'd like to increase it a little bit to get ready to go back to work and have a little bit of a stockpile, you know, then I can do some cross-referencing with articles, and it's always from a trusted source. I very rarely just Google something.
Yeah.
Because you never know what you're getting there.
Exactly.
So I always try to do trusted sites that way. But for the most part, I would prefer to refer people out. And then, you know, most of the time they don't take that suggestion because they really want a quick fix answer. And I don't feel like you can get that online. Again, it really depends on what the circumstances are, though.
Yeah, definitely. Ladies, do you also attend breastfeeding support groups? And if you do, how does your online connection and discussion kind of mesh with that in-person contact as well?
I do attend a support group every once in a while. I haven't in the past 2 weeks, but I try to every week. And I find that knowing that there's a lactation consultant at that group, if I do have a question about information I got online, I know I can ask her. And I do. A lot of the questions I ask her are about the information I've received online. So it's nice to know I have that person to go to. I know specifically who I can go to ask and get the correct answer to that question.
That's a really good point. I had never even thought about that when I thought of that question. But, you know, it's like you're getting both sides of the coin there.
Yeah.
So you're getting the personal stories as well as just making sure everything is accurate. That's fantastic. How about you, Erin?
I have to agree with her. And myself personally, in the beginning months, I attended more regularly. But I still have in the back of my head, I know that every Wednesday from such and such time, if I have to or if I need to or if I would just like to, I can pop in and hang out with all the other mamas. And it's very reassuring.
I think that we've kind of, my friends and I have made unintentionally created a support group. We come together for, you know, kid play dates for our older kids, and it turns into a big, we're all sitting there nursing our kids and talking about the ups and downs, and there we go. We have our little group there. But yeah, in the beginning, I would go to the hospital for those groups. And I find that now we're kind of in the flow and the breastfeeding's going okay. I haven't felt the need to go back to those right now.
Very cool. Sarah, what other online and local resources do you think are helpful and supportive for breastfeeding moms?
Well, locally, I think it's really good to get involved with the breastfeeding community, and support groups are a great way to do that. And what they're saying, as far as, you know, you go in those first couple of months, because that's when it just seems to be so important, and it doesn't matter what you have to do, you're going to get there because you want to know how much your baby weighs, or you need to talk to this woman who is dealing with the same thing that you were last week, or you have that question for the lactation consultant. So it's so important for you to be there in the beginning, and then as things become easier, then, you know, lunch with a friend comes up, and then it's not quite as important. So we see that in our groups as well, as they just kind of start kind of a new group of moms every 3 or 4 months. So just as a side note, I would say if you can make it back for those new moms, I think that that's great too, so that they can see, oh my gosh, they were in the same position that I was 3 months ago, and they're still breastfeeding, and their babies are doing well, and they have makeup on, or, you know, whatever the case is, they see the other side, that it's not always going to be so difficult.
That's a really good point, and I'm glad you brought it up, because I'm feeling quite abashed, actually, that I haven't made a point, because it was my returning to one of the support groups that was really pivotal in my changing, my attitude specifically. So good point. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to think that way, you know, because you've come out of it and just, it feels so good not to be so dependent,
yeah.
You know.
One of the things I see in the support group that I lead is there is a group of moms who have been coming for a while, and they've also formed their own kind of side you know, play group or whatever. So they see each other much more common, you know, frequently than at the support group. But I love when they show up back at the support group with their 6-month-old, 8-month-old, year-old baby that are just celebrating their first birthday. And you just see the eyes of the new mamas with the 2-week-old light up. And from exactly what you said, Sarah, they're like, oh my gosh, that woman looked like she actually took a shower.
Yes. Yes.
And she has makeup on, and oh my gosh, they're all going to lunch afterwards. Like, I want to meet friends that I can do that with. And so, but it is wonderful to have these moms who are confident breastfeeders, and they might still have a few questions here or there, but to kind of be, I don't want to use the word elders, cause, you know, but just the matriarchs of the group, you know, that they can share what they've learned and also just provide this, like, hey, this is, look how cool this is to have a 6-month-old baby that's sitting up and so interactive. Like, my 2-year-old or my 2-week-old doesn't even smile at me yet.
Yeah.
So it is really cool to see that. Sarah, what other online resources do you like?
Well, I enjoy reading the blogs for the same reason. I think it gives people hope that they can get through these things. And it's nice to read those, you know, when you're feeding at 2:00 in the morning, or pumping at work, and, you know, all of these things that you're looking for something to do. So it is nice to read those blogs and articles. So I really like Best for Babes, of course. They post some really great things. And Kelly Mom, her Facebook page and her website are both really great. So those are my two favorite resources, and then just finding blogs from real women that don't really have an agenda. They aren't trying to sell a product or a company. They're just telling their story. So in those situations, sometimes I'll Google or I'll look to my favorite you know, websites or Facebook pages to find those stories, and those are fun to read. But I think it's just very important when you're online to know who you're getting the information from. And so that way you can really just process it from there and know this is a really trusted source. I'm going to really listen to what they have to say, or just, oh, this is something fun to read. I think that it's good to know the difference.
Sure. One of the things I like to do also is if I find a blog that I really like, I check out their blog roll to see who else they're following, because it's just a great way to kind of expand, like, okay, well, I like the way this person's writing, and so I probably will like what this other person's writing too, and if not, it's no big deal. But that's one of my favorite little pieces of a blog. Ladies, what other online and local resources do you find your breastfeeding information or connect with other breastfeeding moms?
My main one that I go to is an app on my phone for the What to Expect.
Oh, okay.
Cool. I use the What to Expect app, and on there is a forum. I initially downloaded the app to track my feedings because it has, you know, stuff like that on it. But on there, it has a link to their forums, and it's great to read, like, in 2:00 in the morning feeding, you know, or My husband's watching something stupid on TV, so I'll go to my forum. So that's the main one I do, and then just the few breastfeeding ones that I follow on Facebook. So
very cool. How about you, Erin?
Well, other than my mother-in-law or a few girlfriends that are still actively breastfeeding, Kelly Mom I go to a lot. And, of course, San Diego Breastfeeding Group is my number one spot for information. And because also I know that if I am in a serious position, I can text Robin. I can shoot her an email, like you had mentioned earlier, knowing that there's a person in particular that I can go to for help is amazing.
Yeah. Very cool. Thanks.
I really like the website, and I found this when I was pregnant, and I swear I think I read every little word of it, breastfeedingbasics.com.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my favorites. I love
that webpage. And I also just really rely on the Facebook page. And also, I have a friend who's going to school right now to be a lactation consultant, so I love looking at her textbooks.
Oh, that's good.
That's a really good idea. You know, and a couple of the ones that I love, Best for Babes and Kelly Mom, those are the ones I think most lactation consultants refer to a lot. But also, I had mentioned in another episode, The Leaky Boob. She is fantastic. She writes great articles, and they have a forum on there as well as Kelly Mom does too, which I didn't realize that her forum was so active, but you know, she has her webpage, she has her Facebook page, and then she has a forum where it's kind of the same type of thing you're talking about with these Facebook pages that, you know, you can ask questions, which are wonderful. And then finding Facebook page, you know, groups like Nevada Breastfeeds or San Diego Breastfeeds, where you not only have moms coming in and talking, but usually there's a few lactation consultants who are answering every once in a while. Like, I find that, you know, if I see a question that I'm like, I can totally answer that in like 2 seconds. I love being able to share that information. And also, I was a breastfeeding mom as well, so I can speak from perspective too. But I think these resources are phenomenal. So Sarah, since Nevada Breastfeeds now has already has over 2,500 friends, are there any plans to expand this page and possibly hire other moderators? Because I just can't imagine that as this continues to grow, and if people are, when people are listening to this episode, that you might have a whole new ton of a whole group of likes on there and wanting to join. You know, what are the future plans for Nevada Breastfeeds?
You know, I don't know. It's so hard to say right now. I've only been doing this for about a year and a half, and so it's definitely bigger than I had expected it to be, which is amazing, and I'm so happy about that. The problem is, I guess it's not really a problem, but I don't get paid to run this page, so I can't imagine hiring somebody to help me. I am hoping, you know, I'm looking into the world of blogging, and it makes me a little nervous, but I'm definitely looking into some different options that way, and then, you know, hopefully have some people come along that would be like, you know, would like to help me, that has a heart for this and just wants to help help women with breastfeeding and new mommyhood, really. You know, it's not just breastfeeding. So.
Absolutely. Are you planning on becoming an IBCLC?
Yes, I am.
Awesome.
I have my lactation credits for the classroom with the Molly Tuffel course. I think I need a few more hours that way, and then I'm definitely working on my classroom hours as well and my one-on-one hours under Robin Holland, the IBCLC that I work with. So she's just been amazing in teaching me and showing me what's outside of the hospital and what's really going on when women leave the hospital and go home and they just feel alone.
Yeah, so. And that's what you're helping with every single day.
Yes, so. It's been fun.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah, and our panelists for your insight into local and online breastfeeding support. I have a feeling that our listeners will be feverishly looking up your recommendations as soon as this episode is over. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Before we wrap things up today, here's a breastfeeding oops.
Hi, my name is Erin, and I have a 9-month-old little boy, and this is my boob oops. We recently went to the San Diego Zoo for my company picnic, and I had only once before breastfed in public, and that in itself was an adventure. So that day, I didn't anticipate breastfeeding at the zoo. However, my son became very fidgety and desperately wanted the comfort. So we found what at the time was a very secluded part of the zoo, and we sat down in a couple of the benches. And of course, I never use a cover at home because I'm just breastfeeding at home. So my son does not like a cover. And at the age of 9 months, he's well strong enough to get rid of that cover. So I'm breastfeeding, I've got the cover, I'm fighting with him in the cover, and all of a sudden I realize that 3 tour buses have pulled up not 20 feet away from me, and everybody is exiting and coming to look at the exhibit that I'm sitting in front of. So, of course, I'm trying to look very calm and not part of the exhibit. but my son, he's pulling and pulling, and I realize that this just isn't going to work. And then to my horror, I turn to my left and 2 of my male colleagues have seated themselves at the picnic table next to us and are trying to nonchalantly look away. But it's very obvious that they've seen me, and I was just mortified, and my husband came over and he tried to cover me up, and yeah, I just turned around and said, "Oh, hi guys," as if nothing had happened. But that was my boob oops at the San Diego Zoo.
If you have a breastfeeding oops you'd like to share with our listeners, please call our boob group hotline at 619-866-4775. Thank you so much to our experts, panelists, and to all of our listeners. I hope you'll visit our website, theboobgroup.com, and our Facebook page to offer your recommendations for your favorite local and online breastfeeding support resources. Thanks for listening to The Boob Group, because mothers know breast.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.